Hi, ladies. We came back. We're going to go ahead and get started with our second half of the call. Actually, this half will might be a little smaller than the first half. The content of these conference calls is the property of Lifestyles Learning, copyright 2013. They may not be recorded, and the content may not be transcribed or otherwise distributed. All right, so we were talking about a passage in 1 John that we had put up. Let me see.
1 John 2, verses 3 to 11, and we wanted to, we were discussing the idea of being free from stumbling in error as we walk in the light, and we had a couple more thoughts on that we wanted to share.
Right. So it was in verse 10, and it says that whoever loves his brother, in him there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error or sin. And I was thinking that there are many Christians who are quite concerned that they do not fall into error. They're aware that there is error, and so they really want to keep themselves from being in error and from stumbling. And frequently we find that people believe that what keeps them from being in error, keeps them from stumbling, is knowing about God and knowing about the Bible. That they believe that if they study the Bible a lot and know a lot about God, and that they will keep themselves from going into error. We also come across the idea quite frequently that church attendance is what keeps you free from stumbling in error. You know, a lot of people tend to call this accountability. If you don't go to a church, you won't be accountable, and you might go into error. So implying that if you do go to church, it will keep you out of error.
I wonder why there are so many streams and lines of thought about same issue,
yeah.
All different sides to an issue, if that's the truth.
Right, and so this verse actually gives us the method, really, of staying out of stumbling in error. And this is how you can be free from error, and that is if you love. It says whoever loves his brother. This is the person who will be free from stumbling in error. And so the way to keep yourself from falling into error is to learn how to love. And the way to keep your children from falling into error and following strange doctrines or things like that is to teach them how to love each other. It isn't found in causing them to memorize great portions of Scripture or teaching them about the Bible. There's nothing wrong with those things, but the method for keeping them out of error and away from stumbling is to teach them how to love each other.
Yes, and I want to make another point about that, too, because Barbie and I can both attest to the fact that our children from much younger ages have the ability to discern error that most of our adult friends had no ability to discern. And it wasn't because we taught it to them. It was because truth was operating in them at the heart level.
Mm-hmm.
Truth operating in you at the heart level is what matures you into Christ's likeness, and it's what aligns you with an accurate knowledge of truth the way God views it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a divine download. When you're walking according to God's principles of love, He aligns your soul with truth, and you receive His truth into your life. That doesn't come through study. That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to study. Study is a good thing. But you need to put these other activities, these outward activities, in their proper place. They don't align you with God in a spiritual sense, where your heart is changed and conformed to the image of Christ, and where your mind is transformed. That can only happen through the reconciliation process. And so when we're talking about learning how to love, there are many, many actions of reconciliation that you are operating in. You are letting go of wrong actions. You're repenting. And you're directly repenting to the people in your life and indirectly repenting just many, many seemingly insignificant ways that you have clung to your own life, of how you have pursued living your life on a day-to-day basis. And you,
just like Catherine was, just like Catherine was describing, she was describing how she turned away from her old ways in very specific ways and was adopting new ones, new loving ways.
Yes, and so you're turning to God and His ways. And it's why sometimes I feel like that we have our approach backward when we're trying to save someone, get someone saved. It's not necessarily the spiritual that comes first. It's the natural. It's the natural that points to the spiritual. It's actually a biblical principle. The natural comes first and points to the spiritual. And so when you invest in someone's life, for instance, your children, you invest in their life in a way that is meaningful to them, you are engaging in a natural activity that actually influences the heart at the spiritual level. So it's a natural that points to the spiritual, and the natural that makes a way for the spiritual to happen. And this is why we say, and why the scripture is clear on this too, that as God parents us, we need to parent our children, that this top-down approach comes through the natural parenting of ourselves from God, and natural parenting of ourselves to our children, where we are influencing them for Christ. But if we're in the way of that process unfolding for our children, well, we're wanting to point them to the Lord, and we're in the way because our flesh is in the way, we actually create that barrier for our children not to see Christ for who He really is, because they only see us, and they see all their problems with us, and they see our bad behavior, and we are actually a stumbling block to our children seeing God for who He really is. And it's a true thing that we are representatives of Christ to our children. And so however we are representing Him, this is how our children view God in their life, and why it is so important that we align ourselves correctly with God so that we can point out to our children who He really is, so that their hearts will be turned to Him as well. And so it is important that we understand how much of a role that we do play as parents in the reconciliation process in our family. We can't just simply stand on the sideline, pray for our kids, and hope that someday they'll come around. This is gross irresponsibility, and God has so much more for us to participate in with Him. And this should give us hope, ladies, because it gives us something to do. It actually gives you something to do. God wants you to have something to do. He wants you to cooperate with Him and have many things to do in cooperation with the work that He wants to do in you and your children toward the reconciliation process. So there are many, 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 many actions. And these Love's Action seminars are really good help along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Lord. And I think we want to get a testimony heard here. Do you have somebody lined up for that, Barbie?
Yeah, I wondered if Lisa would be able to join us on the call.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Well, thanks for joining us, and we're glad to hear your testimony today.
Well, I am comparing mine to Catherine's, and hers is like so, I don't know, wonderful.
Well, I'm sure, I think you probably have some wonderful testimonies too. You write about them on the hymn board frequently, so I'm eager to hear your testimony too, Lisa.
Me too, Lisa. Go ahead, share with us a little.
Don't touch on them with what I have planned. Maybe you can draw them out of me or something. So, what I wanted to say was, after I did the coaching programs, I was excited about, I'd finally learned how to listen to the Lord and obey Him, and I wanted to love my family, and I didn't know what love looked like, even though I learned a lot about love from the coaching. So the lessons, audios was exactly what I needed, and I still refer to them all the time. They were so specific and practical about what love looks like between spouses, between parents to their children, between children to their siblings. And many of the things I never even thought about. I just needed to hear them so I could stop and ask the Lord to show me and help me with them. some of the things I didn't even understand before, like enduring evil and discomfort in order to be patient. I really like how each audio has a verse about love that gives us a motivation and a reason to love, and what the verse really means to me as a parent today. And the way Barbie explains the dictionary definition of each word is so deep, what it really means and what it really doesn't mean that I used to limit it to. One thing that really helped me with my anger was to learn how to understand where the other person is in their growth process. And then I can cooperate with the Lord and what he's doing in them. So if the other person is having a hard time with something and mistreating me, I can focus on the Lord and what he wants to do instead of how I've been hurt. And I've also learned lots from the Love's Actions book. And I was going to share how I kind of used the book. I printed it out, and I left it open, and then I read one or two verses about love as I walked by, and I used little sticky flags as bookmarks, so then I would just move the flag down where I was on the page. And in the back of the book, where there's specifics of what parenting in the flesh and parenting in the spirit looks like, I highlighted the things that I knew I needed to change, and when I went back to it, I could see where the Lord was working in me. And how he had set me free from my flesh and was working in me through his spirit. So even yesterday, I was back on the coaching Facebook page, and I felt stuck, and two ladies recommended two Love's Actions audios to me again, and I needed to go back to them again. Even though I'd heard them before, I could now go deeper with what the Lord was showing me. So that was really good. And I actually had a really big, at least I think it was a big revelation, as you were talking on the phone about knowing him. I was thinking about how, you know, knowing, and sometimes, you know, in some translations it talks about Adam knew Eve, and how intimate that is to know, and how when we're obeying, that's what we're doing. We're becoming intimate with God. We're becoming one with him because we're doing what he wants us to do, and we're listening to him, and we're understanding him, and we know his heart and what he desires. And because I need him to help me to love, then that help that happens when I'm living every moment looking to him to lead me. So then I'm working alongside him by doing what he shows me. And then so as I continue obeying, just it's just this continuous knowing, and I can keep obeying, and then I get to know him more and more, because just even in the process of leaning on him to show me how to love and to actually love through me. I think that's what you were saying, but I never really got it like that before. It's really, really deep about really, really knowing him and really being one with him.
Right. Because as he shows us what we're not supposed to do, it, you know, he convicts our conscience that that isn't loving. He's showing us what he is not like. And as he's showing us what we are to do and directing us toward loving actions, he's showing us what he is like. And so the process of obeying is coming to know him. When we don't engage in those activities of obeying our conscience, we stay in this place where we don't actually know him. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it just kind of hit me like, I guess because I've now experienced it, I now get what you're talking about. Oh, I'm knowing him. Like I'm like knowing him.
Oh, yes. That's precious. That's precious. That is so true.
And that reminds me of what we were just saying about the passage where in the passage of John that we were reading that John was saying that I'm giving you this new commandment because now you can actually hear it and now you can understand. So it's like that same thing is happening with you right now, Lisa, where you've heard that before, but now you understand and know it much more deeply. And because of obedience, because you've been walking in obedience, it makes much more sense to you now that you're coming to understand more and more deeply.
Yes, that's for sure. So I'm actually I have listened to all the audios and read all the books. So now I'm re-listening to them all and re-reading them all, and everything makes so much more sense this time.
Oh, Lord. That is so good. You have made a major connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can you say a little bit, Lisa, about how the dynamic in your home has changed since you've been learning how to love more?
Well, I was thinking about how you asked Catherine that, and so I was thinking, you know, how would I answer that? So I actually think that my children do trust me now. I can only think of one specific area with one specific child where he's still working on that, and I'm trying to remind him, you know, you can trust me now. It's like he needs to be told, or I don't know. I'll just give him some more time.
Yeah.
That's definitely is a huge change with my children and how I relate to them and how they relate to me and how we're just so much more calm and...
Oh, that's wonderful.
This is really funny. If you want a good laugh, this was kind of a big thing for me. I would get so upset all the time. And I wanted to be calm, and I bought this planter that you put flowers in, and it said calm on it. And I thought, that'll help me to remember to be calm. And it's just a planter. And yesterday I noticed, like I'm not a very good gardener, and I noticed there's all this green growth in there. It's like moss or something. And I'm like, that's how I learned how to be calm. I had to grow. It has nothing to do with having a little planter remind me, because that, you know, I didn't know how to be calm without the Lord. So
a little spiritual metaphor there.
Yes. But I really, really appreciate every resource. I've definitely learned from all of them and just keep learning.
Well, good. Well, thank you, Lisa, for sharing with us. I'm glad to hear your voice and hear your testimony.
Yes. Thank you, Lisa, for getting on the line. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Mm-hmm.
You have a good day, sweetie.
Thanks.
Did you want to have another testimony, Marilyn, or would you like to look at another verse that
we had?
Let's
look at one verse, and let's do Luke 1.
Luke 1, mm-hmm. Verses 74 and 75.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and talk for a minute, and I'll see if I can get it up on Facebook for our friends.
Well, I'll just read it. Luke 1, verse 74 to 75. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our foes, might serve him fearlessly in holiness, divine consecration, and righteousness in accordance with the everlasting principles of right within his presence all the days of our lives. And so the thought that I wanted to bring out there is serving him fearlessly, so that we might serve him fearlessly in holiness. This is a divine consecration, meaning that we belong to him, that we have allowed ourselves to be so drawn to the Lord's side that he is working in us and through us day in and day out, moment by moment, to the extent that we receive from him. And this consecration, knowing that we belong to him, that we belong to his work in our lives, brings us to a place where we must learn to serve him fearlessly, because we often, as moms and wives, need to speak fearlessly into the lives of those whom we love, in order to serve the Lord and be the vessel that he wants us to be, the helper that he wants us to be to our family. And I know many moms are fearful of their own children and even more fearful of their own husbands. And this is not from the Lord. Fear is not from the Lord. This is the enemy. God wants us to serve him fearlessly and boldly, to not withhold the truth when the Holy Spirit is nudging us to speak the truth. Yes, there are times when he wants us to be quiet, but there are many times he wants us to speak forth truth, and we must learn to do that fearlessly, ladies. And and of course, in accordance with principles of what is right, and as we are above reproach, walking with him. So be encouraged that the Lord doesn't want you to just stay quiet about everything. You know, God wants to use you as a vessel of insight, wisdom, help with practical application of relational truth in your family. God wants to use you in a mighty way to shape your children's character, to turn their hearts to you and to the Lord. And God wants to use you in your husband's life to be a true helper to him, not just doing whatever he wants you to do. That is not being a true helper. A true helper comes alongside and sees what the real need is. And usually a true helper has something to offer that the other one needs. And this is why you're married, because you have something to offer that your spouse needs. And God will show you wisdom for how to conduct yourself as a godly wife who is a true helper to your husband. So choose to serve him fearlessly as you have the knowledge and the understanding of how to make proper communications, and that you are above reproach, allowing God to do deep works in your heart. Well, thank you, Lord. Did you have anything else that you'd like to add to that, Barbie?
Well, I just, as you were talking, it just reminded me of so many times when I needed to serve the Lord fearlessly in my relationship with my husband, because I knew what the Lord was showing me to say to him, and I just knew in my conscience that that is what I was supposed to say to him, but I was afraid of what, of how my husband might respond, how he might react to me. But the Lord was leading me anyway, and so I chose to serve the Lord instead of to serve that fear, instead of to respond to the fear. I chose to serve the Lord, which meant that I actually had to put down that fear and go ahead and share it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Tell my husband the thing that the Lord was showing me to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and frequently the things I'm talking about were things that had to do with the way, for instance, he was treating the children, or a habit that he, that the Lord was leading me to shine his light on, and to be more specific in, like, Catherine was saying about the way we talk to people is we just put it out there. We just say the truth and speak it out loud. Well, in my marriage with my husband, speaking the truth out like that was not an easy thing to do.
It wasn't even an option.
It was something I was very fearful about, but the Lord brought me forward in maturity as I served him fearlessly, and I spoke about the things the Lord was telling me to share, and I put aside the fear and decided not to obey the fear. I decided to obey the Lord instead, in holiness, out of love for my husband and what the Lord was showing me he needed, just like Marilyn was just saying about actually becoming a true helper to him. That's what I was thinking about as you were talking about this verse, Marilyn.
Well, I think Mary just posted the 2 Timothy verse of God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And the sound mind, ladies, is thinking right about life. That's where you're thinking right about life, having a sound mind. You have no idea. Well, some of you do have an idea of how much the flesh twists and turns every thought and every idea and everything that is posed to its mind, the flesh turns and twists it and makes it into something that the other person never intended for it to mean. But that's what the flesh does, the flesh that does not want to die, the flesh that has pride and control, does not have a sound mind and will twist and turn everything to suit its own purposes. And so it can agree with scriptures and even pontificate on scriptures. It can pound the Bible. It can pretend to be serving the Lord. But when that truth is applied relationally to a person's life who is in pride, they will twist and turn it to mean something that it does not mean. And this is why that you can't actually say that you're walking in truth unless there's heart level reconciliation. Because truth and searching the scriptures for truth and to know God, like Barbie was describing earlier, isn't even a possibility unless your heart is receiving the correction and instruction of the Holy Spirit. When that is taking place, that's when you're understanding scripture correctly. And if that is not taking place, you are not, absolutely are not receiving the truth correctly as God intends it to mean. And there are many scriptures that bring this idea out. But remember, ladies, that if fear is operating in you that prevents you from obeying the conviction of the Holy Spirit, this is not from God. God gives you power through love and a sound mind that thinks right. And sometimes when you're brand new in a process and these right thoughts are locked up inside of you, you can stay pretty confused for a long time. You really have to act on right thoughts to make them real and change you. So act on them. Speak the truth in love. Take the actions of love that need to be taken, and then don't hide in that. Talk about it. Talk about what God is showing you and share it with your husband. For you yourself, what God is showing you, and be open about how you're changing and make it real, because you're actually breathing life to the process that's locked up inside of you. Breathe life and make it give birth into reality. Force it out into the open. Don't hide your sin inside yourself, and don't hide your any righteousness either. It doesn't make it real when you keep it all locked up. You've got to take real actions of reconciliation where you're rebuilding trust with people, where you're speaking forth the things that God is showing you. Make it real, because when you do that, you're disarming the enemy in your life, and confusion leaves your life when you make your process real. Don't go your process alone. Even though my husband didn't understand what I was going through when I went through all of that, I talked about it all the time, and he listened all the time. He didn't always get what I was saying, but he listened all the time. I didn't keep it locked up inside of me, and that was one of the first things that the Lord taught me way back in my very first experience with an answer to prayer, a direct, specific answer to prayer that was miraculous to me at the time. And the Lord told me to speak about it to my husband and my son at the time, and that gave me cause to be nervous. I didn't know what would happen because we were very private people and we didn't talk about such things. Well, overcome those tendencies, ladies. Whatever tendencies you have in your relationships, just overcome them and decide that you're going to make your faith real. You're going to make your process real. You're disarming the enemy every time you turn around. Every time you speak out, one more finger of the enemy's grip is being loosened off the soul of your life. So get rid of him. Be fearless in your approach to the spiritual dynamic of God's work in your life. Be fearless in it. Allow the Lord to do wonderful, mighty, powerful things in you and through you. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Develop that sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Barbie, did you want to get another Who did we have?
Yeah, I was wondering if Monica could get on the line with us. Here, are you there with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi, Monica.
I muted my phone, too.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, Monica. Thank you for getting on the line with us.
Yes, thank you.
We'd love to hear your... Go ahead. We'd love to hear your testimony about the Love's actions.
Okay. I was just thinking that my understanding of love used to be so much about making other people happy. So I was this, I made myself a victim to this goal that was impossible to ever reach. Like, I just thought if people weren't happy with me and approving of me, then I was doing something wrong and unloving. And so just what you guys have just been talking about, telling the truth, like that's what God has really put on my heart, like through the Empowering Book and Love's Action Seminars. They just helped me learn so much about the things that love really is, that it's not about just making people happy, that it's not just saying I love you. People can say that a lot, and it doesn't really mean anything. One of the quotes from that Barbie said was, it's to stop telling yourself you love your children while you continue to mistreat them and hurt their hearts. And so that was really... I don't know, it's just like there's some, love is action, it's not just words, it's something you have to do, or something that you're doing that's unloving, it's, so that's been really helpful to me, and just, so as I listen to each one, I'm learning so much about what does that look like, and it's just helping me to grow, and it's hard for me to tell the truth, and to be bold, and to do, you know, say the right thing, because I'm a people pleaser, but not being truthful is not loving, and so... I guess I just spent so much of my time, I don't know, neglecting my kids, but that was like a distraction to me trying to teach them because I was like, well, I have to please all these other people, and I have to make sure that they approve of me, and so I kind of put that on the back burner, and it was really hard for me to start speaking truth to my husband because I was, didn't want him to be mad at me. I didn't, you know, similar to how Barbie felt, like, I don't, what if he doesn't, he's not okay with what I say, and then he rejects me, or, you know, so I would just be quiet and not say anything, but God has really transformed our family in the last few months and just really kind of helped me to put away all of the thoughts about others and be able to focus on my husband and my children and how am I showing them love. And so the Love's Action just gives such practical, this is what it looks like, and so I can walk in that. So that's been really helpful to me. So, and that love is, like the verse saying, love covers a multitude of sins, Barbie had said that it does not mean you're pretending like the sin never happened. And so in order to please people, I just kind of, that's what I thought you had to do. So I did that with my husband, and I did that with my kids, or, you know. So I guess
Oh, my goodness. So back up just a moment, Monica. So you thought that that verse meant love covers a multitude means that you're quiet about it. You'd cover it over. You deny it. You pretend it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Just be quiet about it and don't make a big deal about it because you're just, yeah, I did. I totally felt that way. And although I see the error in it now, that's definitely how I operate. I don't know that I did that with my kids. I'm more, you know, just kind of, it was with my husband, I guess, and then with others. Just if I'm quiet and don't tell them that I'm that something was hurtful, or don't tell them that that's wrong, then I'm covering, you know, that I'm loving them.
Mm-hmm. So I don't want to put
that's what was expected
here,
of me.
Yes, but what is your perception of that now? The meaning of that to you now?
I guess God has just made me more bold and speaking what's true in a loving way and trying to empower other people and my husband, and, you know, just so that it's not about telling someone that they're a failure. You know, it's not like I'm going to point something out and you failed, like, but to embrace the fact that God forgives us. Let's acknowledge that we have these sins, repent of them, and find healing from them. Because there's no healing when you're just covering over it or ignoring it or not doing anything about it. But there can be healing. You don't have to then all of a sudden become this victim of your sin because you've done wrong, but we can move forward. We can have victory over it. I guess that's what's changed. So in that sense, I don't feel like I'm you know, just being mean. I feel like we have a hope in Jesus, and so we can uncover those things and deal with them and strip off of that flesh and be freed from it.
Love is powerful. Love, love empowers and covers a multitude of weaknesses.
Yeah, it's just been really hard to be really vulnerable, especially, well, like I said, with my husband and people outside of my family who I love, like, to just have them not necessarily agree with me and say, that's okay, I'm just going to do what I know is right, you know, what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do, and it's the stripping off of my flesh looks like not worrying about what other people think. So that's been a really hard thing for me to do, but it is powerful, and I'm seeing the fruit of it, and
that
is good. And just not feeling like you have obligation. Love isn't an obligation. You don't do it because, well, you're part of the family, so you help. Well, no, you do it out of the overflow of love, and yeah, just it's so many things, like you're saying, this moral blindness, I feel like that's what I'm coming up against, is how do I keep showing love and speaking the truth when, you know, so people have blinders on and they don't want to have those blinders taken off. Like, now what do I do? Like, I see how it's going to work in my family. And of course we have not, you know, I don't feel like we've totally overcome everything. And there's so much, it's like this training and this loving, showing them to be able to trust me in my own home on a daily basis. I can see how it's just, it's just going to be a daily thing. But now it's like from the outside of home, it's like, what if they don't want to hear the truth? And I don't know, that's been hard for me. But
well, you're only responsible for what God gives to you right now, what God's giving to you right now. And you need to entrust the rest of it to the Lord. And when he wants to give it to you, he will. And you can sense in the spirit what he's giving you and what he isn't. And that kind of, there's a tension in the spirit where you have a burden for people, but that does not mean you're supposed to be doing something. Just because you have a burden for people doesn't mean you're supposed to be taking action toward them. The best action that we can take is to pray for people. I always find, and I still do, and I tell my kids this, that when they have a repetitive burden that's kind of weighing on their soul, but it's not necessarily conscious. It's kind of in the back of their mind while they're going through the duties of life. And then suddenly you realize that, ooh, I have had this in the back of my mind for days. And you suddenly realize you've been thinking about a certain situation or a certain person for days. And I tell them, you have got to turn that into prayer. It doesn't mean you're supposed to do something, because what the human soul wants to do is find a solution for whatever it is that you're feeling distressed over or burdened for that other person. You want a solution, and it can cause you to take actions God's not leading you to take. And we have a limited understanding of how God can work in that situation that we feel burdened about. What we need to do is turn it to prayer for that situation and that person, and trust God to act, because he can act in so many ways that we are unaware of, and that we might not even know about in real time. And maybe after the fact, maybe never we would know about it. But I've often had answers to prayer that way. You just turn it over to the Lord and really pray over the thing that has kind of consumed the back of the mind of your soul for a few days. You realize that God really is, through the Holy Spirit, burdening you to pray. And that's what you do, and you practice that, and you learn how to do that, ladies, because this develops your prayer life for other people, and you can become an intercessor that way, and it releases you from a practical responsibility that God hasn't given you. If he gives you a practical responsibility, it is going to come through your prayer life. It's not going to come through you coming up with ideas for how to solve a problem, or a false sense of responsibility to speak to someone about something in their life just because you see that they have need to know something. just because the need is there doesn't mean that God is calling you to act on it. And so pray over those things, and God will make you aware of whether or not you're supposed to take action on things. And then you don't have to carry a false sense of responsibility toward people. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when I've been in ministry for a long time, and I've had to do that a lot because I can't possibly talk to everybody who contacts me. I can't possibly do it. I can't possibly do it. I would need to live a few more lifetimes, a few more weeks in every week to be able to answer everything that comes my way, and I can't do it. I get frustrated sometimes because I want to, and I can't. I have to entrust things to the Lord, and in my life, it's a squeaky wheel that gets the grease. So if they come at me more than a few times, I start paying attention. Anyway, but thank you so much, Monica, for sharing. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us before we move on?
No, just so that I'm so thankful for just truth to be spoken to me so that I can go forth with confidence that, okay, this is how the Lord is leading. This is what it means. Like you said, you know, we can read that what love, you know, how God loves us, but it's understanding what that really means in a practical way. So that's been such a huge help to me. So
yeah,
I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you for sharing how Love's Actions is impacting your life and sharing a bit about what God's doing. It's really encouraging. I can tell just from some of your posts, too, that things are going really well. I haven't known you like I have some of the other moms, but I really appreciate you being willing to share a little with us on the line today.
Yes. Yes.
Barbie, did you want to wrap up with one more scripture? Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's do that. I'd rather hear testimony.
Let's have one more testimony.
I didn't know.
And Carlise would like to share with us. Are you with us there, Carlise?
Yes, I am, but I just realized my battery is running out of my phone, so I have to get my other one.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of different topics come up. Just talking about what we think is one topic, don't they, Barbie? Lots of different topics.
Well, yeah, if we're talking about love, we can, like we thought when we started the meetings that we had at the church, if we're going to talk about love, we can really talk about it forever, right?
Mm-hmm. And everything that spins off of it, yeah. Oh, I did want to make a note, too. The coaching program that is about faith, we were talking about fear a while ago. We have quite a bit of instruction in that program on faith and fear and helping you to identify legitimate fears as opposed to illegitimate fears. Just for those of you who might want to know that teaching is available in the Your Faith mini coaching program, Making Heart Level Connections coaching program.
Okay. Hi, I'm back.
Oh, hi, Carly.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Thanks for getting on the line with us.
Okay. You were talking about, mentioned that confusion leaves your life when you're walking in love.
Yes.
I have tried so long, for so many years, to try to avoid sin. But I wasn't consciously being loving in my actions. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And it's like I pictured a funnel going upward. It was really wide at the bottom, and it was full of confusion. I was unrestrained in my life, going, you know, in many directions. And it's been narrowing and narrowing, and it's coming to a point where the narrow part is love, which is what all your messages are about, you know, forever. It's all about being loving. And as that's becoming narrow, my capacity to love is growing. So it's kind of going in the opposite widening direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's less confusion and less, I'm becoming more restrained in what I do in a good way.
Well, thank you, Lord.
I have really loved the love's actions and listened to them over and over and over. And it's such practical advice that Barbie gives to help me see, and I have had such a hard time seeing because I've always tried to see through my flesh and never realizing that it was as I become more loving in my action, I'm able to see more and understand more. So her messages, Barbie, your messages, are helping me to see practically what love looks like and in my relationship. And I love the way you put it in with in our relationship with our spouse and with our kids and our kids to kids and with the Lord. So my two favorite ones, you know, I like them all, but that have really made a difference to me is kindness and understanding. So when I heard the message about kindness and what it looks like in relationship, I knew I needed to act on that. But I just, you know, didn't quite know how to put it into practice, even though I had been changing over the years. I still had to learn a lot and understand more about what it looked like practically. So I would listen to it over and over and over again, and I was still slow at getting it. And the reason is because I lacked being understanding towards my family. And that didn't come out till several messages later when you had that love's action about understanding. Because to me, in order to be kind, you need to understand someone. And I was all wrapped up in my own thoughts about myself and how I could do this instead of being more concerned and having more care for someone else and seeing actually what was going on in their life, understand why they're doing what they're doing or how they got there. You know, I was always trying to help and change and do these other things without this understanding, and no wonder, you know, there was a lot of confusion and a lot of pain and so forth. So then I began to purposefully pull back what I was doing and begin to listen more and to try to understand more. And so, you know, when you talk with your love's actions, it's about the husband. So that was my biggest area at the time. So I began to purposefully try to understand him and get to know him better and in turn to be able to love him more. The last year, the end of last year, we knew that my husband was really sick with cancer and with the effects that it was having on his body. And we didn't know how much longer he had to live. So, you know, with all of that, we had to make a lot of decisions about treatments. We had to put our finances and paperwork in order and prepare for his death. It wasn't that I was without hope, but practically, we had to deal with some of these things. I couldn't just ignore that.
Yeah.
We lived each day the best we could, and none of it was easy. But because of previously before that, with the coaching calls, especially the conscience and learning about listening to my conscience and obeying God, because of listening to these love's actions, it put me, and obeying God, it put me in a place where I could truly love my husband and understand him and what he was going through and how to meet his need. So, you know, before it used to be about me trying to get my way or trying to get my husband to do what I thought was best. And all of that was changing, and keep listening to the messages over and over, my heart and mind were changing. So instead of trying to love, trying to be kind, trying to understand, going through the filter of myself and my own self-centered ways, I was truly looking at him for who he was, not who I wanted him to be, not who I thought he should be, not trying to make myself feel better, but to really be able to meet his need And this really touched his heart. It changed him also. And that's not the reason I was doing it. I wasn't doing it for that. I wasn't doing it to expect anything in return. But I did get a return. So,
yes.
A big return. So during the last months, we both changed dramatically. And we actually grew more in love with each other. And even though it was hard and sad, we grew to appreciate one another as we never have in all of our years of marriage. It was real. You know, it wasn't just, just because we had a baby, and you know how special that for those couple weeks, you know, everything's all new, and he would always treat me special. And it was so different. It was so real, and so it met both of our needs. And we were not perfect in our love, but we were growing in it, and that was the best place we needed to be, and I knew that. And so one of the decisions we made, the hospice nurse was there, and she asked him, you know, it might be easier for your family if you go to the hospital. And I was sitting there going, no, I want him home. I want him here with me. I want to be with him. But I didn't say anything. I just waited to see what he wanted. And he said, oh, I would really rather be home if that's okay with you. And, oh, I said, yes, you know, and we just cried. And you know, it was just so different to be able to yield my heart, to understand his need, and to be able to meet that. So something that was a big discovery for me was that as I was coming to understand and know him without expectation of return, my needs were getting met. I was no longer trying to meet my needs, and it was a gift, and it was so precious to go back and remember these times, because my life's been really busy lately, and I hadn't thought of some of the particulars, so it was really, really precious. I was really grateful. And so because I was meeting my husband's needs, he was meeting my needs by telling me that he loved me. And he said he would express, you know, he was at the point where he couldn't do things physically. I was doing that for him, but his words were kind and grateful and loving. And he said, you know, I could never do what you were doing, and I don't know how you do it. And then he paused for a minute and he said, it's the Lord working through you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that showed me is that I was really loving him with the Lord's love, and there was no greater desire than what he did right there, was to give honor to the Lord and to acknowledge how good he really is and what he had done. So, because I knew it wasn't in my own strength. In my bathroom, I have a scripture from the Amplified Bible. It's Philippians 2:13, and it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another precious gift that the Lord gave me. And so I would tell him all the time how much I loved him, and I would look in his eyes, and before he was real busy, he wouldn't want to take time, and so but now, because he was experiencing my love, I was able to, he allowed me to touch his face and hold him close, and it felt like, as I looked back, to me it's the greatest love story, and you know, I kind of see the ending here on earth, but I don't feel it's the ending at all. I felt like it's it's kind of like a beginning. It's sad to me to think that we won't be able to walk this out. You know, we'll never be able to continue to experience that here on Earth. But I know that we will someday when I go to see Him and Jesus in heaven.
It's a real interesting point, Carlise, that you brought up about love being the beginning. It really is, and there isn't an end to it, and that's a hope that you have in Christ, knowing that even though, you know, a beginning started late, it's going to go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ending to what you're going to get to explore with Rich in the future, and it's love coming into your life. It's like, in my life, it felt like a before and after, and it's always seemed like that to me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a before love, and there's an after love. And all of my life before the Holy Spirit came and moved Christ's love into my heart through the Holy Spirit was just a before, and it's like a dim shadow of what I have had in my life ever since.
Yes.
Love is so powerful to change our lives and to bring us into the light and where we are walking in light. And it's a never-ending life that goes with us to eternity. So you're blessed that you had that opportunity with Rich. Carlise, I know you know that already. You've been very blessed and to have had that opportunity with him. And it's like love culminates everything, culminates your life together, wraps it all up, and takes you forward.
It really does, because, you know, there was regrets over the past years and the sadness of missing him, but his last words, this is like what you, the end and the beginning,
his
words to me that morning were, "I love you," and the memory that I carry of that carries, you know, it's so complete. And so that's, so I know that the Lord's kindness towards my husband is what led him to be reconciled to his family.
Yes.
That's why these messages are so important, because their truth in practical ways towards others, and it's all about love. And so not only be reconciled to my family, but to a friendship that was broken for 20 years. And and also knowing where Rich is at is one of the greatest kindness the Lord has given me.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlise. Thank you for sharing that with us and the ladies on the line. Many of them know that you've been in a mourning season and that you're not fully out of that yet. And but we appreciate you being willing to share and
how the Love Action seminars have impacted your life and brought some joy into this sad time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing and going through all that you do to bring all of us these messages of hope and of love and of truth, so that we can be changed and spread the goodness of God.
Thank you, sweetie. Appreciate you getting on and sharing with us today. God bless
you,
Carlise.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, hon.
I wanted to make a point in closing here, Barbie, that I think people sometimes, when they begin taking actions, when they're in their flesh, they try to take good, loving actions, but they're in their own ability still. They're trying to make changes in their own ability. it can often feel like that you are just modifying your behavior. Understand the scripture that it is the law that leads us to Christ. It's the constraining ways of the Lord that make the way possible for Him to work in our heart. So the goal isn't to stay in our own efforts. The goal is to receive God's grace more and more and more and to be walking in faith toward the overcoming life where we're receiving more of His power in our life to make those changes so that we're not working so hard in our own ability to change our own life. It's just like parents with children. Your children are not self-governed by the Holy Spirit. They don't come out, they're not born that way. They have to be trained, and you apply the law to their life while you're working in their hearts to lead them to a desire for Christ to dwell there. And it's the same way that God is working in us. He is leading us by constraining our actions through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and giving us the instruction we need to make some changes in our actions. And He is leading us to a fuller desire of Christ reigning in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And that desire increases through the process of making things right, because the more you attempt to make things right, the more ugliness you see and the more tired of it you become. And God brings you to the place where you give it up. You're willing to give up more and more of your self-life for His Spirit to rule and reign in you. And so it's this law that leads us to Christ. So don't be dismayed and discouraged when it feels like it's only you working. If you're making any changes at all, I can guarantee that you are receiving God's grace to do it. God is involved, but He's not necessarily on the throne of your heart yet. You're working toward that, and your ways are in the way still, and you need to become hungry for Him. And that is the key toward getting set free, is of your self ways, is becoming hungry for the Lord and His, the expressions He wants from you are prayer and worship and thanksgiving and just being grateful for the work that He's doing in you, no matter how hard it is. Be grateful. Always be grateful and learn to express gratefulness to the Lord, and then learn to express worship, because He's worthy to be honored and glorified no matter what is going on in our lives, ladies. So be encouraged. Love is the way that God has for us. That is the way that He has for us to live the Christian life. It's all about love. Love is the purpose
and the goal of the Christian life.
Yes.
Well, we're glad that you've joined us here, ladies.
Yes, and I want to thank Catherine and Lisa and Monica and Carlise again, too,
yes,
for getting on the line with us. It was special to be able to hear a little bit of your life and testimony of how God is working. It's always a blessing to hear what is going on in people's lives for God's glory. So get yourself a little word study going, ladies, on a passage that has to do with the love's actions. Here's a couple that we didn't read today. I'm just going to give you a couple passages that you can take to heart. Luke 3:8 is one that we were going to discuss if we had the time. And an idea that came from that is that a heart that abhors sin. And then Luke 9:48 about welcoming children and revealing God's love to children for Jesus' sake. And let me see, was there another one here? Yes, Luke 1. No, we did that one. 1 John 2. Verses 15 and 16, and this has to do with cherishing the things of the world. And 2 Corinthians 1:12, having to do with relating with others with pure motivations and godly sincerity. So, look up your own and get going on a little word study of your own, because God will give you the scripture study that he wants you to have and the word that he wants you to study and the understanding that he wants you to have and this particular need that you have in the moment. And that's where he's a very personal God. And you know that already. And so we want to tell you we love you. We are praying for you. We are grateful for you. And most of all, we really wish for you and desire for you all the blessings of God's spiritual fruit in your life and in your family, above and beyond anything that you could even ask or think of. I know that for me, I ended up with fruit that I could not even envision because I had not seen it anywhere around me, and I ended up with fruit I could not envision. And so it's above and beyond what you can even ask or think, ladies. That is what we want for you. It's what God wants for you, too. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for getting on the line with us today. And the Lord go with you and bless you and keep you and your heart close into his will for your life. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Merlin. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Oh, somebody's happy dog there.